going, ah, what's all the fuss about? Everyone's pressing in, the Bible says. But he's like, no, no, I'm not going over there. I want you to understand this moment. This King of Kings is just there. And yes, sure, Peter didn't know, but he knew he was famous and he knew that the people were hungry to hear God's word. But for some reason, Peter just turns around and says, no, let's wash these nets, guys. It's like someone saying, hey, guys, come out to a youth event tonight. And you go, oh, I can't, mate. I'm washing my hair. It's literally a 2,000-year-old excuse. I'm washing my nets. Sorry, I can't come over and listen. Perhaps, I wonder why Peter did this. Perhaps he's never been into this religious stuff. Perhaps he's surrounded by macho friends that say, oh, we don't want to go near Jesus. We don't want anything to do with him. But perhaps deep down, Peter was afraid to go over. Perhaps deep down, Peter was thinking, I'm just an ordinary bloke, actually. And Jesus, that amazing religious teacher over there, wouldn't be interested in someone like me. I'm not like that other lot pressing in. They're all kind of capable and they're kind of enthusiastic and they're all kind of pushing forward and they're clever and they can do things. They're strong and they're able, and I'm just going to stay over here. That religious teacher there, that Jesus guy, he wouldn't care about me. So why should I care about him? What Peter didn't realize was Jesus was far more than just a religious guy. He was God himself. He'd come to earth and he cared about Peter more than Peter could ever know. And actually what Peter didn't realize then is that this man was going to become his Lord and his friend and his savior and change his life forever. I wonder if there are some folks even sat here this morning feel a bit like Peter. They know exactly how he felt. All this church stuff seems a little bit weird, right? Perhaps you're not sure what you're even doing here. Perhaps you only came out of habit. Perhaps you came because you heard there's donuts in a minute. And will Matt please hurry up so we can get on with the important stuff, the eating of the donuts. Perhaps it feels to you like this Jesus that everyone gets excited about, well, he's only really interested in people that are religious, the enthusiastic lot. He's only really interested in these church-type people, and I'm not like that, really. He's only interested in the ones that push to the front to see him. He wouldn't be interested in me. I've got too many questions, too many doubts. I'm not sure what I think. I'm not sure who I am. I think I'll just keep my distance. Amazing thing I want to say to you this morning, to all of us this morning, is that even whilst we might try and keep our distance from God, God does not overlook us. He notices you. You might think, I'm far away, I'm just sat here, I'm an ordinary bloke or an ordinary girl, and I'm an ordinary person. But God sees you, and he cares so deeply. And he noticed Peter. I love this. Before Peter knows it, this Peter who's trying to keep his distance, Jesus ends up coming over to him, gets in his boat, and makes Peter push the boat out into the water so that he can speak to all the people. Peter is now stuck in a boat with the Jesus he was trying to keep a distance from. It's a brilliant moment. He's got to sit there now and listen. And instead of being over there, Jesus is right here. And Peter is there listening. Friends, if we've been coming to church for years, or perhaps this morning's our first time, I don't know for some of you, even though you might think you're far away from God, one of the things I want to say this morning is that God sees you and he passionately cares for you. And he's the God who makes the first move. You might think, I've got to do it all. No, God's the one who makes the first move towards you. He never forces anybody, but he always comes close. And whilst we may not be able to see Jesus face to face, I want to say something else. Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, I'm right there amongst you. He's with us this morning. A Jesus who you can meet, who you can encounter. A Jesus who can change your life. A Jesus who says, I stand at the door of your life, of your heart. I'm knocking. Anyone opens that door, I will come in and I will eat with them and we will be friends. I wonder, has he been knocking on the door of your heart recently? I just want to ask you that question. Maybe this weekend, at the youth weekend, maybe even this morning as you hear some of the stuff that's been shared. Will he open the door? Will you let him in? Anyway, let me speed up a bit. Having finished his teaching, Jesus now turns to Peter and he turns around and he goes, right, fishing.
That's my translation. It's not a perfect translation. So, fishing, Peter. How about you put your boat out into the deep waters? How about that then, yeah? Okay, let your nets down, get a catch. I think Peter must be going, are you joking? Is this guy joking? Thank you. I forgot there was PowerPoints. King comes to us, yeah. So he's the one who makes the first move. But so he comes to Peter and he's like, so should we go fishing then? Let the nets out. And Peter's like, are you kidding me? What on earth would you know about my life and about fishing, for goodness sake? It's a bit like, imagine you're playing on a PlayStation. You've been playing all evening for the last 4 or 5 hours and you cannot get, say it's a racing game, you cannot get past this level. You've played it over and over again. You cannot win this race and you've got to win it to progress in the game. And your mum comes in and goes, oh, have you tried upgrading the suspension? Have you just tuned the engine? How about you try that and go again? You'd be like, Mum, what do you know about this? You know nothing about this. But of course, it wasn't like that with Jesus. He did know. Why did he know? Well, he knew about fishing because, believe it or not, he made the fish. He knew about fishing because he made the lake that the fish were swimming in. He's the Lord of all. He's the King of the universe. There's nothing he doesn't know about. He's the one who sustains it all. Not only does he know more than we could imagine, but he cares. Perhaps you think Jesus could never know about my school experience. Jesus could never know about my college or my friends or the issues I've got or my work or my job or my family or how I'm feeling. The answer is he does know. He really knows. He understands and he cares so very much. So Peter decides not to cause embarrassment anyway. And even though he probably thinks Jesus doesn't know anything, he honors this guy. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night, but because you say, okay, I will let down the nets. And after his failure all night, Peter has been putting the nets down and pulling them up and putting them down and absolutely nothing when he does it Jesus's way, when he follows his word. Suddenly, the nets are so heavy they can't pull them back up. The swarm of fish that they see glinting in the water, he has to call his friends over. They're trying to pull this up. There is a terrifying amount of fish. The boats almost sink. And for Peter, this is the first time when he finally realizes who this Jesus really might be. This man is the King of the universe. He's the one who is more powerful and more amazing and more important and more holy than anyone even comes close to. And in that moment, Peter responds by falling to his knees and just going, Jesus, go away from me, Lord. Can you imagine that for a moment? Literally down. Go away from me. I'm a sinful man. You shouldn't be this close to me. Whoever you are, you're amazing and I'm not. You're incredible and I'm just broken. But Peter didn't realize that Jesus already knew all that Peter had ever done, all the brokenness he felt. Peter was probably thinking, if you only knew, Jesus, who I was, if you only knew what I've done. Jesus knew. He knew it all. And he still was there, and he cares. He knew every fear and every lie Peter believed about himself, but he'd actually come to set him free from that stuff, from the lot of it. The God of the universe stands before this messy, ordinary bloke, and he says this. He says these words, and I love this. He just says, Peter, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I already know all of that, he's saying. Yet I'm here, I see you, and I love you, and I have an amazing plan for your life, Peter. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to change people. Change people's lives in amazing ways. Guys, I wonder if you ever feel like Peter. God, if you only knew who I am, if you only knew the mistakes I've made, or if you only knew the way I work, you wouldn't come anywhere near me, Lord. If you knew the person I feel inside, then you wouldn't be interested in me. I know when I was 16, that's exactly how I felt. Everyone thought I was a really good guy, and everyone thought I was lovely, and I had a few friends, and school was okay, but deep inside I felt broken, felt like a hypocrite. I felt like I was really, really struggling. But the truth is, God knew all of that, and he came to me. And I gave my life to Jesus at 16. And he said, I see you, Matt. I see you in all your brokenness and all your weakness, and I love you.
I don't love the pretend you or the outside you or the you that we might now shove on Facebook or on whatever else. I don't need all that. I love you. I know you. I know you're broken inside. I know you struggle, but I love you and I'm calling you to come and make a difference in this world, to follow me. Don't be afraid. Yes, I am huge. Yes, I am mighty. Yes, I am more powerful than you could ever imagine. But don't be afraid. You're known. You're loved. I'm here. I care. And I have a plan for you. The King who knows. And friends, I just finish this short talk now with one more point. You see, we might say, what about all the mess and the mistakes I've made? Jesus said, I came to pay the price for all of them. See, Peter didn't know right then, but Jesus was going to go to a cross for him. And he was going to die to deal with all the mistakes that now drove Peter to the floor in shame. Jesus was going to take the lot of them. Jesus didn't say, hey, they don't matter, we can ignore them. He said, no, they matter, but guess what? I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them away. That's what Jesus did. He went to the cross to pay the price of all that stuff Peter had ever done. He's gone to the cross to pay all the price for all the stuff I've ever done. He's gone to the cross, not just to pay the price for that person over there or that person, but for you, actually. He's done that, the King of Kings. And the amazing thing is he hung there and he died. And he paid the price for all our mess. But he didn't stay dead. He bust death apart. He's the King of Kings. Death's not going to hold him back. And he bust it apart. And the other thing he wants to do is he wants to bust apart all the lies and all the shame and all the stuff that isn't true that we believe about ourselves. Jesus wants to bust that apart from us. He wants to take it off us and throw it away like that dustbin there symbolizes. Will you come and follow me? Will you believe that I died for you? Jesus would say. And let me take this stuff off you and let me deal with it. The idea that you're hopeless, it's a lie. The idea that you're not noticed, it's a lie. The idea that you could never follow Jesus, it's a lie. The idea that, oh, not me, only them, it's a lie. He says, no, you, I love you. I have a plan for you. Don't be afraid. Come follow me and we'll make a difference in this world. And for Peter, that was the beginning of an incredible journey. It was the best decision he would ever make. It was the best decision I ever made at 16. And it's the best decision anybody can ever make, to follow the King that has come to set us free, the King who knows all that we've done, all that we fear, all the lies that we have in our heads. He's come to rewrite our story. He's come to take them away. And he's come to say, don't be afraid. I know you. I love you. Come follow me. And he said those words to Peter in Matthew's account. So Peter did, dropped his nets. Suddenly they didn't need washing anymore. He left the fish. Yeah, they're worth a bit of money. It's not anything in comparison to following this guy who loves me, who sees me, and who's called me to follow him. Hey, let's leave it there for now. I'm going to hand back over, and we'll come back in a moment.
Amazing, incredible truth. Praise God. During our youth weekend, we've been thinking about this theme that Matt's been building on, and we'll build upon a little bit later, of encountering the King that sets us free. And we watched a video yesterday where a lady was carrying around a black sack full of rubbish. It was weighing her down, it was smelly, it wasn't nice, and she was tired. And Jesus walked along and said, hey cat, what's that smell? And she replied, oh this? Oh, it's just my rubbish. And he said, is that why you've been avoiding me? And she started backing away from Jesus, embarrassed by the contents of the bag. She went on to explain that she carries the rubbish round with her to help remind her not to make more rubbish. That as ugly and yucky as it is, she's gotten quite used to carrying this round. But Jesus replies, you don't have to carry this round as a reminder not to make any more rubbish. I will walk with you and remind you. He says, I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight. And she proceeds to hand over the bag, slightly hesitant at first, but is soon grateful she did. And before you know it, she's saying, this is crazy. And she's moving her arms around. She's saying, I don't think I've ever moved like this before. In this video, we were encouraged to trust in the forgiveness and the cleansing power of Jesus. And Peter, who we've been learning about this morning, he writes, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." And we spent some time in small groups thinking about the things perhaps we're carrying around, what's in our black sack, perhaps shame, guilt, something that happened in our past, insecurities, doubts, fears. And we wrote them down on some pieces of rubbish to symbolize us recognizing them for what they are and reminding ourselves again, or perhaps even discovering for the first time, that we can bring these things to Jesus and find true freedom. And the band are going to sing a song now titled, "O Come to the Altar." And it's got lyrics such as, "Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling." And I invite you just to spend the next few minutes offering things that you are carrying around to Jesus. Please stay seated and use this time as perhaps a time of reflection or even discovery that we truly can encounter a King who sets us free. And his name is Jesus Christ.
That was really moving, actually. See you guys doing that. Thank you. Lots of those God's been dealing with in my life, actually. Some of them he's still dealing with. I'm a work in progress. Some of the insecurities. But I tell you, gosh, he's dealt with so many. So much I've been able to give him over the years. So much we still try and hold on to, but he says, no, just hand it over and receive the truth from me that you're loved, that you can walk with me. You know, the day that Peter, let me keep the time good here, but the day that Peter followed Jesus, the day that he said, right, and he allowed Jesus to say, you don't need to be held back by your sin and your shame, you can come and follow me. The day that he was set free, or the beginning of that journey of being set free to follow Jesus, was the beginning of an incredible journey, actually. It was a journey that would be beyond what he ever imagined. But I never think, ever think he would have imagined that it would be a journey that involved him one day genuinely stepping out of a boat in the middle of a storm and walking on water. Extraordinary. Let me read the passage very quickly. This is Matthew 14. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, and while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Then later that night he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. It was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said. They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied," I love this, "'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, truly, you are the Son of God.'" I mean, I don't know if you've done anything exciting or dangerous. Anybody here been on a roller coaster? Anyone like roller coasters? There's a whole bunch of people there going, "No, don't be ridiculous. I'm not going anywhere near a roller coaster, Matthew. Terrible idea." Anyone bungee jumped? See how? Yeah, awesome. Anybody like parachuted? Gosh, that's amazing. I didn't expect people to have done that. I have not done that. I mean, these things are cool and they're amazing, they're exciting, but honestly, Which one of us here would say, yeah, in my spare time, I love to go and walk on water in storms? Yeah, I just wait for a really stormy day and I go, hey, yeah. That is not high up on my list. It's a ridiculous thing to do. What was Peter even thinking that that was a good idea? Why on earth would he even attempt this? The simple answer is that Jesus called him. Jesus said, come. So Peter came. Peter realized that when Jesus had set him free from all this muck and shame and the lies he believed about himself that said, I'm no good, he'd set him free from this stuff for a life of faith, of adventure, of following Jesus. Jesus doesn't just set us free so we can stand still and go, oh, that's nice. He sets us free so that we can follow him and learn to trust him and learn that following him's the most amazing journey we could ever be on, not always the easiest, but the most amazing. So that night, the disciples, they're out on the boat. Let's go to this story quickly. And they're in the middle of the lake, and it's pitch black. It's before dawn. The winds are up, and they're battling against a rising storm of some description. Jesus, he's nowhere to be seen. He's gone off praying. He said, go to the other side. They're exhausted. The wind and the waves battle all around them. It's dark. They're desperately trying to control the boat. And then as if things couldn't get any worse, someone, one of the disciples goes, look over there. There's a silhouette of a ghost and he's walking towards us. It couldn't get any worse. It's no wonder. Scripture says they were terrified. They cried out in fear. It's a ghost. But it wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. And he immediately says to them, take courage. It is I am, it is I. Isn't Jesus amazing? Our Lord and King, not even the elements in their full force are any match for him. He comes walking to them as simply as I'm walking on this rather water-themed carpet, may I say. It's rather nice. This shall ever be the sea, or the Lake Galilee, this carpet. It's great. But he just does it. It's no problem for Jesus. But then he says something Peter's heard before. Do you remember the words? He said it to Peter and he says it again this time. What did he say when Peter was on his knees? Do you remember? I dropped down there. What did he say? He said, Peter, don't be afraid. Peter, there's that fear thing again. Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. And Peter's come on such a journey with Jesus that when he hears this, he believes it. He says, right. Because it's at this point, with the darkness and the terrifying winds and the waves and the fear of the disciples all around him, that Peter decides, well, I want to get out of the boat. I want to go and be with Jesus. And instead of waiting for Jesus to come and rescue them, Peter cries out to Jesus, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come. And instead of saying what I think Jesus should probably have said, or what we think he should have said, which is, no, Peter. Thank you ever so much, Peter, for your enthusiasm, but just leave this to me, okay? I don't think we shall be walking on water this evening. He just says, come. One word. Come. Now, I think we realize it would have been frightening in the boat. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat and been frightened. I have. But it would have been ridiculously more terrifying to get out of that boat and to step on the water that night in the storm. It would have been terrifying. And yet Peter sees Jesus walking on the waves. And he thinks, if Jesus is there, I want to go and be there too. Talk about going in the literal deep end. I mean, if he was interested in walking on water, he could have said to Jesus, that was amazing. Can I have a, you know, like a pro class on how to do that? Okay, we'll start with a puddle, Peter. Here we go. Just off you go. All right, we'll move up to an inflatable paddling pool. We'll then go to the local pool. Then we'll go for a still day on the lake. And then finally, we'll go for big winds and waves, okay? None of it. None of it. This was straight in. This was crazy in some ways. But Peter had learned actually that the best place he can be, or any of us can be in life, is following the call of Jesus. He'd never forgotten that first day when Jesus called him, don't be afraid, I have a plan for you, come and follow me. And now Jesus had once again said, don't be afraid, come. So Peter did. That single word was enough for him. He got out of the boat. He actually got out of the boat. In the darkness, in the wind and the waves, with his friends watching on, and he begins to walk on the waves. And you see, a life of following Jesus, of being set free to follow him, is a life then surrendered to his call. And sometimes that call is going to lead us into situations that are frightening, actually, that are scary, that are far beyond what we thought we could ever do on our own. But Jesus still says, come and be with me. Come despite the storm and learn that you're able to do things far beyond what you can do by just your own strength and your own strength. Come and discover that the very best place is out of your depth, but following Jesus. Far beyond what you'd have chosen, maybe if it was just down to you, but Jesus is there. It's the very, very best place where we learn and we grow. I wonder, is Jesus calling you to come? Has he been saying something to you recently? Has he been saying, come? Have you heard his voice? Because he is the King who calls us further and deeper to a life just beyond our comfort zone. Will you say, yes, Lord? Yes, Jesus, I'm coming. See, I'd love to tell you that the moment you say yes to Jesus, everything becomes easy. You have no opposition, the storm goes away, but it doesn't. In this story, it doesn't, does it? In this account. Just as soon as Peter begins this incredible task, he begins to falter and to doubt. He takes his eyes off Jesus for a moment and he looks around and he sees the waves, and it's as if some of his old insecurities come straight back. Some of his old fears come right back on him. Who are you to be doing this? Who do you think you are? You're not able to follow Jesus. You're not able to do the things he says you can do. It's a lie. Go back to your old life. Give up, Peter. See, following the call of Jesus doesn't mean it's always going to be easy or without struggle or opposition. Doesn't mean that from that moment we fully understand everything, and it doesn't mean that sometimes our old habits and the old lies can come back and swell back up and we doubt and we feel like we fail. But what it does mean, and I can promise you this, is you have the one who loves you and who's freed you and is stronger than you could ever imagine right there walking with you every step of the way. For as soon as Peter shouts, Lord, save me, immediately, the Bible says, right then, Jesus reaches out his hand and he caught him. And then Jesus says to him, hey, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little faith, why did you doubt? And it might sound like Jesus is telling Peter off here for doubting Jesus. But Peter didn't doubt Jesus, I think. I might not be quite right on this, but I'm pretty certain Peter didn't doubt Jesus. Why do I think that? Well, because he cried out to Jesus to help him. He knew Jesus could help him, and Jesus did. What did Peter doubt? Well, what he doubted was that he could be like Jesus. He doubted that he could do the things that Jesus said he could do. He doubted that Jesus had really called him to come. But Jesus didn't doubt him. We switch to the next slide. The king you encounter is a king who actually believes in you. I want to be careful with that. You might think, what do you mean by that, Matt? That sounds back to front. No, we believe in Jesus. Yes, we believe and we trust in Jesus. But do you know what? When Jesus calls you, come, he's saying, when I call, I believe that you can do it. And I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to give you the strength, and I'm going to be with you. But I'm not gifted enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not experienced enough or wise enough or sporty enough or clever enough or whatever it is. Well, Peter in no way, shape, or form was any of those things good enough to walk on water, but he managed it because Jesus had called him. And those who God calls, he equips. When Jesus says, come and follow me, come and do the things that I did, come and share my love and my goodness with this hurting world. Come out and reach out in faith and live filled with my Holy Spirit. We might think, oh, me? I couldn't possibly. Well, Jesus thinks you can because he called you. And he doesn't make mistakes. So we fix our eyes on him. We say, really? He says, yes, come. But what if I stumble? What if I mess up? What if I fail? Well, he's right there with you. Because you will at some point. And he picks us up and he dusts us off and he teaches us that he's never going to let us down. Following Jesus and being set free by the King is the beginning of a life journey of getting it right and then getting it wrong and being dusted off and picked up again and loved and forgiven and cherished and nurtured and sent again and then walking some more steps and doing really well and learning and growing and then making a mistake again. And Jesus right there, his hand there saying, it's okay, I'm with you. You can do this. Keep following me. Keep living for me. It's called Life in All Its Fullness. I've come that they may have life in all its fullness. The thief has come to kill and steal, destroy. I've come to give life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness is learning to walk with Jesus and to follow his call every step of the way, not giving up. His call might look like a trip to Borneo. I just think it was awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Did you ever think you were going to do that? Probably not. No way. That's too much, right? I want to step out of the waters into Borneo. That's like, whoa, yeah, come. You can do it. It's amazing. It looks like running 100 kilometers in a month. I don't think I've run 100 kilometers in my life. It's amazing. Can you do that? Yeah? Yeah? You can do that? It might look like, and can I say this for some of you here this morning? It might look like taking the step of declaring your faith in Jesus publicly and going down into the waters of baptism and coming back up and declaring to everyone that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Oh, I couldn't do that. Jesus says, come, listen, and follow. He knows you can. And he will equip you and he will help you. It might look like going across the world. It might look like staying here in street. It might look like speaking to lots of people or just having a quieter life where you impact just one or two. You're faithful at work. Whatever it is, it's a call to step out deeper into the water in faith and trust and to live a life that without Jesus would be impossible. For me, I just want to tell you, in a nutshell, it looks like me talking to you guys. I was 16, 15. I was 15, I started getting panic attacks. I couldn't even read in school. I was a good reader. I couldn't, in geography, I remember I tried to read something, my breath went. And then I became a Christian. I discovered this God who was one day going to wipe every tear from my eyes, and every tear. And there was no more death or dying, illness, the old things are gone. It's this promise in Revelation 21. It's amazing. And I read it that night as a 16-year-old broken boy, and I let Jesus become my Lord and my Savior. And I said, right, Lord, and I felt called to ministry. Felt called to do what I'm doing now. But I can't even speak. I was like, Lord, what on earth's going on? I could never do that. And he said, you can. And it's been a long journey, and it's not been easy. But every step of the way, I've known he's with me. And every step of the way, it now looks like me being called to be lead pastor at Creech. I mean, whose idea was that? Well, if he's calling me, I'll do it. And I'll trust him, and I'll love him every step of the way. When the King of Kings calls you, I'm finished with this. The humble thing isn't to say, oh, you know, who am I to follow him? No, the humble thing is to say, who am I to doubt his call? If he calls you, you don't say, oh, who am I? I couldn't do that. You say, no, who am I to doubt his call? Because with his strength and his Holy Spirit living in you and with me, we can take that step out onto the water. But it all begins with giving our yes to the call of Jesus to come. Do you hear the call of Jesus to come today? Will you come? Will you join a life of risk and joy, of faith? Are you held back by fear or anxieties? Let him take them. Let him free you. Let him work and begin that journey of freeing you from all that stuff holding you back. Do you think he could never be interested in me? He is. And he calls you to come and follow. Be warned, he calls you to come and leave everything, to trust him through the storms out of your depth. But he'll never leave you. And your life will make a difference in this world. Your life will make a difference to others in ways you could never do on your own. Let's just pray. I'm sorry if I've gone on a little, but let's pray, and I think we're going to sing. Loving Jesus, we hear your call again this morning. And if you're calling us right now, Lord, maybe for the first time, or maybe we're already Christians and we know you, but we know that you're calling us to go deeper or further or to step out. Lord, we want to start by giving you our yes this morning. We say yes to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on that cross for us. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking apart the fear of death, breaking death itself apart, that we can trust you and be set free from all the things that hold us back. Help us to trust you and step out and give you our yes today. In your precious name. Amen. 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 Bless you guys.